Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now. Please join Father Cedric's message already in progress.
There's many words for this. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, an awakening, a filling, being born again by the Holy Spirit, a release of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. See, that's what we're talking about here tonight. And it's not a one-time thing for a certain group of people 2,000 years ago. It's for us here, right now, tonight. It's for our church. It's for our young people. It's for all of us. And let me try to explain how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I think that there's a great heresy going on in our church. You know what a heresy is? That's incorrect teaching. And the heresy is this. When I talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, a lot of people think, okay, we're empty. It's like, okay, Lord, fill me. You know, kind of like an empty bowl. Let's pour it out and get filled, okay? And that's not exactly the way it is. Remember what I said. You have the Holy Spirit already. The Spirit is omnipresent, which means the Holy Spirit's already there. In fact, even little kids know that they have the Holy Spirit. For example, a little 7-year-old girl one time went to a doctor, and she was going to be examined. So the doctor pulls out his stethoscope, and to make her feel at ease, he says, you know, he's going to listen to his heart, to her heart. To make her feel at ease, he says, I am going to listen for Barney in there. She said, Barney's not in there. God's in there. Barney's on my underwear. So even kids know that God lives within them. You know, these young girls, they know that. This young guy sitting there, everybody, we all know that God lives within us. You know, don't you understand that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? So the great heresy is this, that somehow we are empty. Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your Spirit? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I go to Sheol, now there's a new thought. They used to think that in Sheol, nothing was there. If I go to Sheol, you are there. See, God's everywhere. There's no place where God is not. So when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, then what do we mean? It's not the empty bowl thing where we need to be filled. There's nothing here. We need something. No, that's not what it is. The filling of the Holy Spirit is this. I remember one time I was in San Francisco. You know what it's like in San Francisco? It's very windy, usually. And you know, that's a symbol of the Spirit. Remember what I said some of the symbols are? A dove, wind, fire, breath, light, water, you know, living water welling up within you. Let's look at wind for a little while. I noticed, you know, we've had a lot in the news about wind with the hurricanes. Well, let's look at this wind thing. And I was in San Francisco, and I was on a boat, and all these little boats were going by me, all these colorful boats. And you know what they were? They were sailboats. And they had their sails up, and the wind, get this, turning this into a sail here for a minute. I got to look out for the fire. I don't want to catch fire here. I want to catch fire, but not that way, if you know what I mean. So I'm always looking around for these candles. Got to be careful of the Easter candle. I almost got caught fire one time. Well, anyway, the wind, you get the sail up, and the wind hits the sail and drives the boat. And if you don't have the sail up, you don't go anywhere. But you got the sail up, and you get driven. You get driven by the wind, okay? That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the wind is already there. The wind is already present. And what you got to do is get the sail up to catch the wind, to be driven by the wind. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the wind of Pentecost is already here, folks. And it's in this room here tonight. It's with you as you listen by CD. The Spirit's everywhere. And oh, the Spirit's so glorious and so good and so loving. Romans 5, I believe it is, says, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. And see, as believers, you know, a lot of time we think, I got to get the Holy Spirit, or I got to get forgiven, or I got to get salvation. That's wrong. You don't get those things. You receive the Holy Spirit. You receive forgiveness. You receive salvation. That's a big difference. This is receiving. This is trying to get. This is receiving. You just get in a position of openness. You get in a position where you can receive what's there for you. And it's a gift. You see, God wants you to be filled. And He wants you to get. I love it when I preach. Like right now, I'm feeling glory running all through me. It's just wonderful. It's the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit. You see, I don't do this on my own. You know, it's the grace of God. And that's there for you too. Say, Lord, you know, I want to receive you even more. And I'm willing. You know, that's what the retreat's about. That's how you have a closer walk with Jesus. You know, that whole thing of intimacy with Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. So anyway, to be filled is to get your sail up and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So tonight, I'm praying that as you hear the word, and that's one of the ways that you're saying, well, how do you get the sail up? Well, you hoist it. You know, listen to the word. Read the Bible on your own. Believe in the Holy Spirit. Turn away from your sins, as we've been doing. Listen to good Christian music. Go on retreats and missions. And I mean, that sail's going to get so high, you are going to start to move and start to get driven. Remember, not backwards, not stuck, but being led by the Holy Spirit. You know what the Bible says? Those who are children of God aren't those who have the Holy Spirit, because we all do. Those who are the children of God are those who are led by the Holy Spirit. That's why we pray, lead me, guide me, Lord. And what a way to live. What a new way to live. Instead of making your own decisions and saying, I'm going to do this on my own and I'm going to try this and see if it works. What about allowing God to lead you in your decisions and help you in your vocations and help you raise your children? Wow, that's being led by the Holy Spirit. So as I was talking about, wind is one of the great images of the Holy Spirit. And of course, wind, as you know, can be very detrimental. As we've seen with Katrina, we saw it with Hurricane Rita, you know, we see it with the typhoons that hit. Wind can ruin things. It can be very detrimental, but it can also be very, very beneficial. So now what have I said? I've said, first of all, that the Holy Spirit is free. There ought not anybody be here tonight that thinks, well, I don't deserve this. Well, you're right, you don't deserve it. None of us do. It's a free gift of God for everybody. And it doesn't always mean it's a feeling, by the way. You gotta accept this in faith. Feelings may come. As I said, you know, when I'm preaching, I feel the glory. I don't always feel the glory. That depends on the Holy Spirit. But as I preach, what I'm doing is I'm getting my sail up. And then the Spirit's filling me. So I've talked about the Holy Spirit's free, first of all. It's for all of us. All people, I will pour out my Spirit on, God said. That means you and me. He's given you life, believe me. You've got the Spirit. And then, of course, refills. And we can have that new awakening, that born-again experience, and that filling with the Holy Spirit time after time, day after day, I believe. In fact, that's normal Christianity, to be refilled. So it's free refills. And how do you get filled? Well, the Spirit's already there. You get the sail up. So let's talk about who the Spirit is now. The Holy Spirit, of course, as I said, is a person. It's the living person of God. It's the love of God poured into our hearts. And it's not just any spirit. It's God. Now, some people have confusion when it comes to salvation. People kind of, gee, you know, I find this in the Catholic Church so much, and I just want to help you with this so much. Many people don't know that they're saved. Or that they're going to heaven. They say, I hope I go, or I hope God forgives me, or I hope. Well, here's how you know. It's the Holy Spirit that is the assurance, the foretaste of the glory to come. I mean, people talk about, how do you know if you're going to heaven? Because heaven starts now with this heavenly gift already given to us. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the down payment and the foretaste of what is to come. And that's why I preach with such assurance and with such joy, because I have come into communion with the foretaste. And I can tell you, you know, I believe with all my heart, I'm going home to heaven when I die. Because, well, how do you know that? Because I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You know what a seal is? It's a mark of ownership they used to have. You know, they'd mark like wine, or the king would put the seal on it because he owned it. Well, when the Bible talks about being sealed with the Holy Spirit, that means that you have been sealed with the mark of ownership from God. So when you know, when you come into communion with the Holy Spirit and you come to know the Spirit in a personal way, you know where you're going because you already have heaven within you. So you don't need to doubt anymore. You just simply seek the Spirit, seek to be filled with the Spirit, and all the peace that the Spirit gives that the world cannot take away. So let's talk more about wind. Wind, as I said, can be very detrimental, but it can also be very beneficial. And as we know, those hurricanes that hit, we saw the damage that it does. But think about wind for a minute and how beneficial it can be, because the Holy Spirit is beneficial to us and does many things for us. And let me talk about that. I was driving from Vallejo one time down 680 towards San Jose, if you know that highway over there. And I looked to my right, and right in the foothills there, they had all these big windmills and their generators that produce power. And what happens is the wind whips over those mountains from San Francisco, and it hits those windmills, and it generates. It drives those windmills. And if you remember in the Bible, it says that when Jesus went out to the desert, he didn't just say, well, I'm going to go out in the desert and fast for 40 days. No, it says that the Spirit drove him into the desert. It says that in the Gospel of Mark. In other words, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. He was driven. And that's what the Spirit does. The Spirit drives a person. A Spirit leads the person. A Spirit gives a person creativity and drive and motivation and passion. You have to understand that. That's what wind does. That's why the Spirit has been symbolized as wind. What else does wind do? Well, I'm a golfer, or at least I think I am. And it is so hard to hit a golf ball into the wind. Even if the wind is blowing sideways, this way or that way, it affects the ball. But if you hit that golf ball downwind, it's going to go forever. You know why? Because the wind helps it. And another word for the Holy Spirit in the Greek is the paraclete, the helper. So the wind has come into your life, first of all, to drive you. Second of all, to help you. Well, I love living in California, at least for these 2 weeks while I'm here, because I get to open my window at night. And you know what happens? You're laying there on a hot night, and you get that delta breeze out of Sacramento. And you know what the wind does? It refreshes you. You have to understand that the Holy Spirit is the comforter. Come to refresh you and to help you, revive you, give you rebirth, new life. See, that's why the Holy Spirit comes. And especially when we're going through hard times, we need that comfort. We need that revival. We need that refreshment that nothing else can give but the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, you know, wind is, like I said, it drives and it helps and it refreshes. Then, of course, wind, you know, I take off on airplanes quite a bit. And it's an interesting thing. You always look at the windsock and which direction it's going in. And when the windsock is pointing that way, that means the wind is going this way, you take off this way. So the windsock's going this way, you take off that way. Why? Because wind, you fly into the wind and it lifts. In other words, that's an image for inspiration. See, the Holy Spirit comes to inspire our lives, to make us positive instead of negative, to, as I said, to give us creativity. The Spirit lifts us up. You know, there's enough to be depressed about, there's enough to be in despair about, and there's enough negativity and hard stuff in the world, but the Spirit comes to lift us up. And oh, the inspiration, just read the Bible, some of the beautiful things, and how the Spirit says, you know, a lot of times you think, that's it, I've had it, I'm giving up. No, the Spirit says, you can do it. You can do all things. You're more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. And you can do all things. We heard this reading this Sunday. You can do all things in Christ who strengthens you. And that means you can be content no matter what's going on in your life. So what else does the wind do? The wind brings about change. You know, when you think about it, right before a front hits, they're saying on Saturday we're going to have a front come through here. It starts to get very windy. and it rustles the leaves, and some leaves fall. Some leaves in your life need to fall, and it's the wind that blows them. After the hurricane, there was stuff everywhere. You know, there's a natural pruning process that goes on with the wind. You ever hear of the winds of change? And last night, as I proclaimed to you how to change, I talked about confronting your issues and facing what's within you. And I believe that you can't really do that unless it's by the Holy Spirit, to get deep within you, confront those issues, and not run away from the pain. And it's the Spirit that gives you the wisdom to understand what your roots are and to face them and to turn away from sin the best you can. I love what the Bible says in Romans. People are wondering, how can I overcome sin? It says, if by the Spirit, Paul says this, if by the Spirit you turn from sin, you will overcome it. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. So the only way to put to death the deeds of the flesh is by the Spirit. So the Spirit comes with a mighty wind, as we prayed in the beginning, as we heard at Pentecost. And that wind can come suddenly. You know, they were all there praying together. They were getting their sails up. And it says, suddenly, there was a mighty wind. So don't give up on your prayer life, and don't give up on reading Scripture. That's why I've tried to help you on the course of this retreat with the Scriptures, you know, because I really believe that that can be a catalyst for your sail getting up, and that suddenly. Because sometimes, you know, you get your sail up, and it doesn't seem like it's windy at all. But all of a sudden, there's a mighty wind that comes. So it can be suddenly, and it can be gradual. So don't think, you know, everything has to shake all at once, all the time. There can be a gradual change and a gradual movement and a gradual leading. It's a process, changes. So we get this image of the Holy Spirit as being wind. And as I said, wind is beneficial. It's refreshing. It lifts. It inspires. It helps. You know, it does all these different things. The wind changes. You know, the wind drives. There's all these beautiful things that the wind does. So I invite you tonight to understand that the Spirit is in your life for all that. That, like I said, you don't have to be negative. You can be positive. You don't have to give up. The Holy Spirit will help you to get through. You don't have to say, I'm never going to change. I'm stuck in the muck. I'm going backwards. The Spirit's here to drive you forward and to help you to change. And as I said, you got to take responsibility for your part, but the Spirit will do the rest. And the only way you're going to change is by the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit is the agent of change. So really, the Spirit is the Spirit of power. That's what I'm trying to say. And that power comes in many different forms. And really quickly, let me also say that the Spirit has come to give us passion. As I said, red is the color of fire, but it's also the color of passion. And I named my pilot program for TV, Live with Passion. I'm a passionist. And of course, passion in today's society, it's a catchword for, mostly for, it has a sexual connotation. There's even a soap opera on, I hope you don't know this, but there's even a soap opera on TV and it's called Passions. You know, when we think about a passionate person, it has that sexual, you know, passion connotation. And I always tell people I'm a passionist, not passionate, okay? You gotta be careful about that nowadays. Well, the other connotation for passion is the passion of Christ. The passion of Jesus was his suffering. That's what that word passion means, suffering. You know, many of you saw the movie by Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ. But the definition that I want to talk about that the Holy Spirit really brings to me for passion is enthusiasm. It's vigor. It's vitality. It's energy. It's exuberance. I never used to be like this, and I'm not like this because I take vitamins, because I don't. It's the Holy Spirit gets in you and gives you an excitement for life. You see, the Spirit is the meaning of life, you know, and everything that our destiny is meant to be, so you get excited, you know, about your life and about your vocation. And I've discovered that, you know what, because of the Holy Spirit, I don't want to be lukewarm, I don't want to be lackluster, and I certainly don't want to be mediocre. I hate mediocrity. And the Spirit has brought a whole new value for me about excellence and creativity and living your vocation to the full, whether you're married, a priest, single, a student, whatever your vocation is, it's to live it with excellence. And that's why the Spirit has come, to make us excellent people, so that people ought to see us and say, there's something different about that person. Be careful. There's something different about that person. You know, they thought that the apostles were drunk on Pentecost. That's why I'm saying be careful. But, you know, there ought to be a joy and an energy to your life. Never mind this, you know, moping and depression and despair and all that. And that's, you know, part of being human. But the Spirit, like I said, comes to bring us above and to inspire us and to help us with our life. And many people are trying to live under their own power and in their own strength. And isn't that too bad? Because there's an abundant life available for all of us, Jesus said. John 10:10, if you want to read it later. I won't be going too much longer, so hang in there. But this is good. See, the Spirit is teaching us tonight all about who God is and what we have available to us. But of course, I really don't think the Holy Spirit just falls on us. The Holy Spirit's there. We got to do our part getting the sail up. It's always a combination of grace and responsibility, of personal responsibility and grace. And if we do our part, certainly the Holy Spirit will do his part and her part. So the Spirit comes to give us power. The Spirit comes to give us passion. And really quickly, the image of the dove. The Spirit comes to give us peace. And I want to tell you that the peace that I've received from God is a peace that the world cannot give. We always proclaim that. It's so important we proclaim it at Eucharist. You know, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. First words of Jesus were shalom to the apostles. Shalom is a greeting. In the Hebrew, it's peace. But it's more than just a greeting. It's a gift. So the last gift that Jesus left was his peace, and the first gift at the resurrection was peace be with you. Because we need peace. You know, this world is so stressed out and full of anxiety and turmoil and fear and guilt and all this other stuff. We need that peace to raise our kids and to live our life. And some of you have lost your husbands and wives, you know, and just to go to sleep at night, we need that beautiful peace. And I want to tell you that the peace that the Holy Spirit brings is not a peace from tribulation, but a peace in tribulation. Because I've discovered that, you know, receiving the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that you're not going to have trials, much like I was talking about the other night with trust. Doesn't mean if you're a believer that you're not going to have trials and tribulations, but rather, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. He said this in the Gospel of John. So he's preparing us for this, so you wouldn't think it's unusual when it happens. In the world you will have tribulation. But then he said, cheer up, I have overcome the world. And because he's overcome the world, he breathed on us this power, this spirit, this help, this wind that can drive us and lift us up and help us. And he breathed on us this new peace. And tonight I want to tell you just a little bit more about this peace. Of course, I don't know if you've ever heard this story. It's in my book called Thy Kingdom Come. I have a whole chapter on peace in there. And it's about a man who was very wealthy and he loved peace. He realized that money couldn't buy it, but he always wanted to have an image of it up on his wall. So he had a contest, and he employed 50 artists to draw the best portrait of peace that they could draw, and the winner was going to get $100,000. So, of course, you know, they all got to work, you know, with the creativity, trying to draw this portrait of peace. And he was the final judge, the wealthy man, and he narrowed it down to two portraits. And one was a very beautiful mountain scene, very placid lake on the mountain, a few billowy clouds, a swan swimming on the mountain, just gorgeous looking, the perfect picture of peace. And then the other portrait, the other finalist, was another mountain scene, but it wasn't so peaceful looking. The mountain had a jagged, rugged, cragged peak. Right over that peak was this dark, angry storm cloud, flashes of lightning flashing out because of the thunder and the lightning, torrential downpour right on the mountain. Because of all the water, there was a waterfall rushing and gushing right over the top of the mountain. But if you looked really closely, right underneath the waterfall was a bush, and on the bush was a nest, and in the nest were two little birds asleep in the midst of that chaos. So the man looked at the two portraits and he said, this is the one that wins. Because peace is not the absence of storms, but peace is serenity in the middle of the storm. And that's what the Holy Spirit brings. And so Jesus breathed on us. And he said, peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit, your best friend, the power of God, the passion of God, and the peace of God. So I'm going to invite you all now to stand and let's get our sails up. I don't know about you, but that was better than I thought it was going to be. Just to open up your hands now. Let's get the sails up. And Holy Spirit, thank you for your people of faith. They love you, and I love you too. You've been with us all of our life in our journey, through good times and through bad, and you're with us right now. Some people here have never felt you, they've never known you, and they want to. And I pray in a new way tonight that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that God will touch you, give you passion, give you power, and give you peace, but most of all, give you intimacy with him through the Holy Spirit. May you know that you are loved. May you have that blessed assurance in your heart that you're going to heaven, and may your life change because of God's glorious Holy Spirit. Lord, revive your people, save your people, and give your people rebirth. And I ask God's blessing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I like to say that faith is forever. Feelings are fickle, but faith is forever. So whether you felt anything or not, believe, and you watch what happens in your life. And I want you to be praying specifically for the Holy Spirit long after this mission's over. You know, Jesus said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That means to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.